What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, August 13th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside It Ain't Wednesday, Gary Whitta.
Yeah, Whitta Monday. What's this about?
Hey, you know what? Sometimes you gotta switch it up. It's gonna be an interesting week of guest hosts around
How
here.
So?
Right? I'm putting you here.
So, I mean, right off the bat, you're throwing people a curveball.
I like to start with the cream of the crop. You know what I mean? Wait till
it's
Wednesday?
It's all downhill from here.
Exactly, all right? Tomorrow, it's me and Andrea. Wednesday, it's me and Aiden. Maybe Aiden. I forget how to pronounce her name, but I just retweeted her. I met her at RTX. She's a lovely lady, does a whole bunch of freelance work, lives
in
the Bay Area.
So, how did that work out? Did you just say, hey, you should come on the show sometime?
Here's what I wanna talk about, and actually, it's gonna come up later in Reader Mail. But what I found fascinating, I talked about this at the RTX panel and then at the Buffalo Wild Wings Michigan meet and greet.
God, a lot of people showed up to that. I saw the picture you posted.
Kind of Funny best friends are everywhere, man. Cheeks Jr. and Snowbike Mike episodes that happened a couple weeks ago where they hosted Thursday and Friday.
And those were best friends that were hosting, right?
Correct. Yeah, they're from the community. They do, obviously, their own YouTube stuff and Twitch stuff like a lot of people do. Anyways, though, that was a real proud moment for me. Of the fact that it's been cool to see like when you and Jared do the show and I'm not here, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
But to see what I want the future of Kinda Funny to be, that like it doesn't always need to be me, Nick, or Tim.
Because you just
want to
sit on a beach and just watch the revenue roll.
I just want to see the Amazon Prime subs come in. Exactly. You
just
know
count
what I mean?
Your money.
Just fuck right off with all the money.
Yeah.
But it was a cool thing to see something I built get taken and still be awesome and go with it, right?
Right.
And I feel that it was the first time for me, I think, you know, you always talk about imposter syndrome and, do we really matter? Is this, that, and the other? It was a cool moment to see that, like, we're building a legacy here and it's actually working and it's going somewhere.
One of the things I envy about the work that you do is that I don't often get, you know, the things that I do maybe come out once every 2-3 years,
sure.
And then maybe people like them and I get a little bit of, people liked it.
Yeah.
You get that feedback every day, constantly from your audience.
Yeah, we put out a piece of content, or three pieces of content each and every day, usually, right? So you always have a chance to do better. But it was the fact that the show's established, we're building this legacy, and we do have a platform, you know what I mean? And not in a beat your chest kind of way, that there's an audience behind Kinda Funny Games Daily and Kinda Funny in general, and so I think it's only right to use that to elevate voices and stuff.
And it's a very passionate audience as well.
Exactly.
These aren't people like casually, the cat channel surf, and they're like, whatever, I'll check this out.
Yeah.
These are people that are like making a point of seeking you out.
Right. And they come here for, the chemistry, the information, the entertainment, and all these different things. But accepting the fact that, okay, we are established enough that we have a platform, I want to use that in the correct way, and I think that's elevating new voices. So I want to get new people in here to actually be part of the show.
Pay it forward.
Exactly. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I think having Khalif on from Spawn on me a couple weeks ago
gave you your first break, right?
Yeah, Jeremy Dunham. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that's the thing, is I want to start, you know, having the opportunity and taking the opportunity to be like, okay, cool. I met Aiden at RTX. She was great. And I'm like, okay, you're coming on the show. And then the same night, maybe, I met two people from Geeks of Color podcast, and I'm talking to them about coming in and doing a show, just to have them come on, and they do Games Daily after TwitchCon or around TwitchCon. But it's the thing of like, we have all these awesome people, the show's got a great structure and a body to it, so let's just go. Kevin's telling me to look at my phone. He's saying, oh, it's a Twitch security code. Here, you just take it.
Thank you.
No problem, I love you very much. But it's the idea that we have it. Why not use it? I want to make sure that we're elevating voices and people that you don't see anywhere
else. The more voices you elevate, the closer you are to that beach.
God, I tell you what. You know what I mean? That's what I want to bring in. Pay them peanuts.
To win.
I'm just going to do
what
every big site does.
I know about the peanuts. I know very well about the peanuts.
All right, enjoying your fucking abomination book sales, you motherfucker, all right? That's all kinds of fun. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Write in at kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Then, if you're watching live, be part of the show. We need you to correct us. We do a thing called You're Wrong. Go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. What I like about Monday is I have so much energy.
This might be my first time on a Monday. Your low energy is pretty much high energy for
a normal human.
A mortal man.
Okay.
But to see you on a Monday.
Oh man, I'm pure light.
What did you do this weekend? Were you re-energized by the weekend?
I think because I saw you and Jared Petty and Andrea all dogpiling on me and talking shit that I'm making everybody in Fire Pro Wrestling World, but I hadn't made the part-timers yet, and I'm in trouble now.
Is it just me? I guess it's just me. That game looked kind of crappy to me. No. That's a good game.
Oh, yes.
It looks like an old school.
Yeah,
it
what's
looks
wrong
like
with
it's
that?
Like a 16-bit
what's
wrestling
this is
game.
What I'm talking about all the time, in that the fact that WWE needs to stop marching towards the simulation genre and right. go back to No Mercy.
Just good old fashioned.
The N64 versions, yeah. yeah. And the creation stuff and the abilities in there and stuff.
That's what puts me, because I like the wrestling games, but again, they've all become like Madden now, where you've yeah. got to know so many different buttons
this
and
is
combos.
Not, that's not this
sometimes
one.
I just want to hit A to pile drive
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Well, let me make you. That's,
this would
you
be
can
the game
sit down
for me.
And play.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give it a try.
Okay.
If it's an accessible wrestling game, that speaks to me. When I was a kid, there used to be a game on the Commodore 64 called Rock and Wrestle.
Sure.
And that one, it was the same thing. Isometric ring.
Yeah.
Very simple characters.
Yeah.
And that's what I liked.
Yeah. You see, it's the. It's the idea that you can create anything in this game that it then becomes the No Mercy or WrestleMania 2000 that I miss so much.
Okay.
And so I was just showing Cool Greg before you sat down. I fell full into this game. Totally in love with it. So I, of course,
and this is a franchise.
Is
the Five
oh
Pro
yeah, it's
been
around
for
a
while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I fell in love with it. Started following on the subreddit, and then there's this video on the subreddit of this guy who made the Attitude Era, and he has like all the old WWF rings, all the old WWF superstars, and it looks so real.
Really,
it looks like an official
lot of
game.
Customization.
Oh my! Well, you saw it, right? I mean, we have a party mode ring. We have a kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
you have no idea what I'm talking about, go to either my Instagram, Game Over Greggy, or my Twitter, Game Over Greggy. You'll see all these creations I've been putting out. I guess Twitter has more of it and stuff.
So that
but
was,
I made
that,
everybody from the core cast were kind of. Funny.
This was most of your weekend. Was
oh
just
my God.
Making
as
things
I said,
in
like
Five
this
Pro
is,
wrestling.
Friday, we got the code. Cool Greg and I started playing, and it was like, oof, I don't understand what I'm doing yet. I don't know. I went home, played on Friday, just playing with the default stuff, and it's all New Japan wrestlers, so I don't know much about them.
Okay.
I'm like, whatever. And then Saturday, I actually tumbled down the rabbit hole of like building stuff and uploading my own assets and creating. So I played all Saturday. And then, Sunday, I was like, this is how crazy I got, is that Saturday night, Jen's like, it's time for bed. I was like, I'm not too tired. She's like, we'll just kind of like, I want to play the wrestling game. I just went in with my laptop next to her and designed ring aprons and rings and corner posts and stuff and uploaded them all. So then I woke up Sunday morning and I was like, babe, I'm just going to make the party mode ring for Kinda Funny, upload it, build it, and then I'll clean up the house. And then she's like, okay, cool. I have to go do some work stuff anyway. So she left the house and it was like 5 hours straight.
I'm guessing she came back to a messy house.
No, I stopped. I knew.
Oh, you did.
Well, that's when you
went to stop.
You ask for the hey, give me the heads up when you're about to come home.
Oh,
and you get the heads up, and that's when.
And now suddenly, like, oh shit,
Portillo, help!
Time to clean.
Fire Pro is great. I'm sure I'll be talking about it a long time. Like I said, twitter.com/GameOverGreggy. You can see all about it. Housekeeping for you. Fan mail this month is going to be an autographed photo of Nick Scarpino, the champ. I am forced to tell you that. So if you want that, you can go over. It's going to be this weird, like, glossy image they're doing that'll look very much like professional wrestling. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny or patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Sign up for your autographed photo of the champ, Nick Scarpino. Shut up, Kevin. And then also today we're brought to you by brooklinenandstamps.com, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you, Cool Greg. Let's start with 2 Bethesda stories, Gary Whitta.
All right, I like Bethesda.
I like them a lot after this, because it seems like they're taking that PlayStation to task, and I appreciate that, but I don't want to spoil the story for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
Over at Game Informer, Andrew Reiner, friend of the show, reports Elder Scrolls Legends might snub those who don't allow crossplay. Hint, hint, PlayStation. Andrew was talking to Pete Hines about, of course, Elder Scrolls Legends, the strategy card game they were talking about at that QuakeCon, and basically cut him off because they started talking about it. Here's what Pete's saying about how they're going to roll it out and where they want to roll it out. Quote, it is our intention, in order for the game to come out, it has to be on those things on any system. Talking about crossplay. We cannot have a game that works one way across everywhere else except for on this one thing. The way the game works right now on Apple, Google, Steam, and Bethesda.net, it doesn't matter where you buy your stuff. If you play it on another platform, that stuff is there. It doesn't matter what platform you play on, you play against everyone else who is playing at that moment. There's no quote, oh, it's easier to control or it has better frame rate on this system. It's a strategy card game. It doesn't matter. Back to Andrew. I asked him if that meant there's a chance it won't come out on PlayStation 4 if Sony doesn't change its stance. This is back to Greg now. Remember, the whole hullabaloo when Fortnite came out, when Rocket League came out, when Minecraft came out and went cross-play on everything, that PlayStation won't play nice if you want your game to play between Switch, Xbox, and PlayStation. PlayStation's fine doing cross-play
They've
between
the
that
whole
and PC.
Down.
Yeah, they're the one who they want to keep their toys with them. Sony doesn't change its stance. Back to Pete. Quote, we continue to talk to all platform partners, but those terms are essentially non-negotiable. We can't be talking about one version of Legends where you take your progress with you and another version where you stay within that ecosystem or it's walled off from everything else. That is counter to what this game has been about, end quote. I told Hines that Sony isn't letting Fortnite offer crossplay, and that that game is the biggest thing out there right now. Quote, I am aware, he said. I'm just telling you that's our stance. That is our intent. And that is our message. Not specific to anyone in particular, but to everyone we are talking about. To everyone we are talking about. This is 100% clear. This is what we are doing, what we need, and what we intend. End quote. Hines didn't outright name Sony in any capacity, but unless Bethesda is doing something different with its cross-platform efforts that conflicts with the freedom Xbox One and Switch currently allow, it has to be PlayStation 4.
Well.
Get them! Pete Hines and Bethesda.
Holding Sony's feet to the fire, I like it.
I mean, that's the only way to...
Because he didn't mention it, but it's obvious who he's calling
out. Of course. Pete's a wordsmith. Pete knows what he's doing when he's up there. You know what I mean? When he wants to drop the F-bomb, he knows what he's doing. Yeah. Exactly. And I mean, If we can all sit here and complain in the moment, as many of us did, as I did with Fortnite, right? And I've been true to my word that since that happens, I haven't played Fortnite on PlayStation.
This is what it's going to take. It's going to take big developers that have big games with big audiences to say, if you don't play nice, if you don't include everyone, then you're not getting this game. I wish Epic had done it.
Yeah.
I wish they had had the balls to say to Sony, hey, biggest game on the planet right now, Fortnite, if you want in... Got to play with everyone.
Yeah.
Why should you get it if you're going to be over there all by yourself?
What's interesting, is that Epic added the crossplay for Fortnite later. So that was where I think you get
that's
around
true.
It, right?
But back, I think that's a very good point. But had they had the had the opportunity to, I think that, or I would have said, hey, you know what? We're gonna pull it.
Yeah.
It's already out there, but we'll pull it if you don't play with. You know, let me tell you a story.
Everybody, it's Witta story time.
As you know, I'm a parent. I have a 6-year-old daughter. She watches a show called Yo Gabba Gabba.
Big fan.
You know it, right?
No, I don't know.
You don't know Yo Gabba Gabba?
I've heard Yo Gabba Gabba. I think they tour once in a while.
It's a fantastic show.
Sure. I know Paw Patrol. She like Paw Patrol? She's too old for Paw Patrol now, isn't she?
No, she likes PJ Masks.
Okay.
That's a whole other world.
What about McStuffins? She watched the McStuffins?
She loves Doc McStuffins.
Okay, there we go. Common ground.
She loves Doc McStuffins. Okay. Created by my good friend Chris Nee. Now, there's a song on Yo Gabba Gabba. It's one of those shows that teaches you, that tries to teach kids about how to be a good citizen of the world. How to be when you grow up, these are the basic lessons that you shall learn. And we will impart them to you
through the gift of song
song and music and games and dance and stuff like that. They have a song called Everything Is More Fun When You Include Everyone. Everything is more fun, everything is more fun, everything is more fun when you include everyone. Sony, you should be watching Yo Gabba Gabba because you would learn that lesson.
Sure.
It's more fun if you include everyone.
Right.
If you come and play with the group and don't just sit over it with your ball, bouncing it by yourself in the corner of the yard like the sad kid that no one wants to play with.
Sure.
Because that's what Sony is becoming, the sad kid that no one wants to play with.
And that's the point of this one, I think, right? Is in what you're saying, which I agree with, is that, yeah, granted, Bethesda, big publisher, Elder Scrolls Legends, maybe not going to be the biggest game in terms of,
Nevertheless.
It's death by 1,000 cuts. Yes. Right? The more developers that do
and
come out.
And this now sets the precedent. Ooh, Bethesda did that. Yep. Maybe we could do it too.
Exactly.
Sony's been saying for too long now, we don't want to play with you.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time for developers to say, well, fuck you, we don't want to play with you either.
Exactly. Yeah,
see
how
you like it.
Yeah.
And like, you'll always have your first party games, but you need those third party games as well.
Yeah. And that's the thing of, you know, the free market, right? Of like, okay, cool. Like they're giving you choice and your game doesn't have
imagine
to be learned. PlayStation's allowed to do whatever they want.
Imagine if Activision came out and said the next Blops or the next Modern Warfare, we want to go cross-platform. We want Xbox and PlayStation. Because I hate the fact that I have to choose my friends when a big game comes out. I might want to, you know, your base platform of choice, given the choice, is PlayStation.
Yeah.
Mine is Xbox. So we rarely get to play with one another because we are behind these walled gardens, except when cross... I love the fact that cross-play is coming in because we'll get to play across platforms. Imagine if someone was some real, real juice, a game that Sony could not afford to lose. If they said, the next Black Ops or the next Modern Warfare, the next Call of Duty game, we're making a big push for cross-platform play, and if you cannot support that, you ain't getting the game. You're just not getting it.
Do you not make the separation of cross-platform being a bigger deal for free-to-play? Because that's usually the argument. Like, there's multiple camps on this, right? And it's a great conversation piece. I love having it, and I love having it with you guys.
What's the difference? Why does free-to-play make a difference?
I don't know if it does. And this is the problem. In the same way we argue on this show about Game of the Year and what does that actually mean anymore,
right?
It's the same thing here of, I think, what does any of this mean anymore? When it is cross-platform, does it matter that you bought it or that you paid $60 for it, that it is this or that? Because the whole reason, right, PlayStation is against this is their bottom line, is that they don't want me making buying the new aerobic skin on Switch on Fortnite and them not getting the cut they would get if I bought it through the PlayStation Store.
Well, so, guess what? You're going to get even less of a cut if we hold the game back.
Yeah.
So make your choice.
Yeah. It's I don't envy the position any of these guys are in, and gals, obviously, any of these companies are in, as they wrestle with what gaming is now. It used to be so easy. There's a box on the shelf and you buy it and you're done. And what is your platform? You're over.
Right.
But now as you do get in, it does become a thing of like, okay, cool. If people like myself keep arguing this and eventually PlayStation's like, fine, fuck it, whatever. Minecraft, Rocket League, Elder Scrolls, Fortnite, it's all cross play. Then it does become a thing of like, what about when Division 2 drops and we're all like, why can't I play there?
And Ubisoft's like, that's a complete argument. You and I are not going to be able to play Division 2 together because I'm going to be on my platform of choice and you'll be on yours and there's a walled garden. Unless they announce some big thing between now and again, which I hope they do.
No way.
There's a tipping point coming. This is only going to go in one direction. Cross-platform play is good for everyone. Everyone's a winner. It doesn't, I don't believe, unless I'm missing a trick here, it doesn't benefit any one platform over another. The first party games obviously are only on one platform are always going to remain only there.
Sure.
But for Call of Duty, for FIFA, for you know things like Hearthstone and you know and Battlegrounds and Fortnite and Elder Scrolls and things that are on multiple platforms, let everyone play together. You're not giving up anything. It doesn't make you look weak to let everyone play together. Let everyone play. And ultimately the developers and the publishers are going to be the one that decide this. If more and more go for it, whether or not it's something as extreme as holding the game back. And again, I support it. Even though it's a smaller game, I love what Bethesda's doing here. At the end of the day, Activision's never going to say you're not getting Call of Duty on PlayStation if you don't go cross-platform.
Well, it's in the same way you figure. Bethesda's never going to say you're not getting Doom 2 or Doom Eternal.
Right, because again, because at that point you're cutting off your nose to spite your own face. They need the game to be on all the platforms.
This is a great PR move, and I mean PR move in terms of getting a headline, but also a great game pro gamer move, right? Of like, we're with you on this thing. Our vision of this game needs to be everywhere. Yeah. When it comes to Doom, they're not going to be like, well, because they didn't want to play nice on Elder Scrolls Legends, we're going to keep this game.
And it is obviously easier on these smaller games that work across multiple platforms and don't have high system specs. Something like Black Ops and games like that are going to be tougher challenges. But the more we see this trend evolve, and the more that we see Nintendo games are cross-platform playable with PC and Xbox and iOS and Android and what have you, PlayStation is going to look increasingly uncool and like the kid that nobody wants to play with, as we said earlier. And I think they're going to have to ask themselves what do we think we're protecting here?
Yeah,
like they're trying to protect their brand, but right now they're building a brand of like being the kid that doesn't want to play with the other kids.
Yeah,
and that's not cool.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how you net out what your brand is versus what your bottom line is, because that's the big argument, right?
Division 2 is fundamentally going to be the same game on Xbox One as it is on PlayStation 4. Maybe, you know, again, Digital Foundry will go count the pixels and find a couple of teeny tiny little differences. But at the end of the day, there's no real technical reason why those games can't, why we couldn't play together. Someone's making a business decision to do that. And I wish we would get past it because it's the last ridiculous thing. Remember when Blu-ray and HD DVD was a thing?
Yeah.
And you realized how ridiculous it was that you needed two different players? Because Paramount's over here, but Warner Brothers is over there. If I want to buy all the movies, I got to buy two different players. Eventually, that got sorted out because Blu-ray won and defeated the competition. But we still have this situation with these multiple bifurcated formats. And it kills me that we can't play these guys. I don't want to play on PlayStation. You want to play on Xbox. So we can't be best friends.
Yeah.
And I hate that.
It's really what's holding our relationship back.
It really is. Because in real life, it's all good. We've got good chemistry.
Yeah.
I want good online chemistry, too. I want to go into the dark zone with you, my brother.
Hell yeah.
That's what I want to do.
Sahara cries. But then we'd all have to log in through Uplay and blah.
Oh, yeah, that sucks, doesn't it?
Uplay. Number two on the Roper Report is more Bethesda stuff. It's some quick hits on Fallout 76. IGN reported that, or they're talking obviously from QuakeCon as well. Dedicated servers that'll support mods have been confirmed for Fallout 76. And then GameSpot reports Fallout 76 brings back the franchise's perk system, but this time the perks will be acquired and represented through perk cards. Immediately after this was announced at QuakeCon, fans began to wonder if they would be able to purchase these cards with real money. Bethesda has now confirmed that perk card packs can only be acquired through gameplay. A tweet from the Fallout account explains that perk card packs are earned solely by leveling up, which may put some fans' minds at ease about the matter. Bethesda's Pete Hines also commented, saying to a fan, quote, you get them when you level up. There are cosmetic microtransactions in Fallout 76, but apparently nothing that would affect
Bethesda
your stats.
Bethesda just making
gameplay.
All the right calls lately. I guess the only thing they've done that annoyed people is saying that they're no Steam, right, for 76?
That annoyed people, yeah, but I think you kind of expect it. And then the other one that I didn't put in the Roper report, and I don't think it made it to questions, was this thing. Did you see this a little bit of a brouhaha about a guy selling a used copy of Evil Within 2?
Yeah, they don't like the used games being sold.
Yeah, well, it's kind of got blown out of proportion, right? It was a guy trying to sell an unopened copy that he already bought.
Okay.
And claiming it was new. Because it's unwrapped. It hasn't been unwrapped yet.
Right.
But
Bethesda
was like, you can't say that. You have to say it's used because you bought it and you're not an authorized retailer.
Got it.
So that was like some legal mumbo jumbo.
But they weren't saying that you can't resell your old games.
100%. Got it. But the problem was the headline got kicked around,
yeah,
I think, without people actually clicking through.
Yeah, of course, it got clickbaited into this bigger thing.
Exactly.
Right.
And so like it's a weird legality thing I think they're really arguing about, but I read through it and I was like, I don't know if it really requires a Roper report discussion.
I would say that in general, when you look at these two decisions we're talking about today, no loot crate type money system, yeah, and really kind of pushing Sony hard on cross-platform, I always get the impression that Bethesda is one of those companies that is on the side of the players. You know,
yeah.
I feel like they want to make the right decision whenever they can.
I always talk about it, right? Like, I think, obviously, we know Pete. Pete's been great to us. He's come through a million times. He lets us call us 5 minutes before he goes on stage.
Todd Howard, obviously, very popular character.
All sorts of great... But, I mean, it's the thing of, for me, for some reason, Bethesda rarely makes a game I'm super into. I respect everything they do, and I understand.
Really?
Like, I'm just
Fallout doesn't work for you?
I love Fallout.
Okay.
I enjoyed Skyrim quite a bit.
Okay.
But like, Doom's not my cup of tea.
No,
Evil
Within's
not my cup
not
of tea.
Cup of it
tea.
Was back in the day. The remake didn't really land for me.
Dishonored wasn't my thing. Like, I totally see these games, play them, understand why people love them, but it's just not what I want.
Always quality, though.
Exactly. But then it's the fact that they come out, and I feel they're the no bullshit company in terms of like, when Pete's on here, you ask him any question, he'll give you the answer. He'll curse during it. They're not pulling punches and doing stuff. I think they're not pulling punches and doing stuff. You know what I mean? Pulling punches. Their conferences are really good of like, hey, we're making a conference for our fans. Like, if you want to not care about this shit, fine, but this is what we care about.
Yeah. I always wanted to go to QuakeCon. I've never been.
Should have gone. Just missed it, man.
Did you send anyone?
No.
Well, then who are you to tell me why I should be?
Well, I mean, I can send you next year. You want
to
go?
I'll go to QuakeCon next year as the official kind of funny
Kevin
delegation.
I'm going to tell Kevin he's going to.
Let's do it.
All right.
Okay.
All right, hold on. Next year, I'm sending you and Gary Whitta to QuakeCon. You're going to make videos.
You want
to
go?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, good. All right, cool.
All right. So we got a whole year to prepare because they just had it.
Just happened. So yeah.
No, I know.
Okay. Like it happened this weekend.
Where is it?
We're talking about it, right?
Yeah,
it's in Dallas, right?
Doesn't matter. I'll go anywhere with you.
Yeah, does it change? Does it move around? I don't even know.
I used to be in Dallas, I think.
Yeah, whatever.
Because, you know,
it
used to, I mean, that's where they
are. Yeah. kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. That's a perfect one of where it was. And also, hey, in kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, tell me who wrote that GameSpot thing. The IGN thing, dedicated server support mods, that's just news that they got
more
somewhere.
Importantly, you're wrong. Tell us where QuakeCon's going to be next year. If
oh, that's
that
also true. That's
been
a good one,
has,
too.
In fact,
but then let me know who
announced.
Wrote that GameSpot piece. I feel like I read it, but I didn't give any credit, and I hate doing that. Number three, there's a new Crystal Dynamics studio opening. This is from GamesIndustry.biz's Brendan Sinclair. You're going to hear a lot about GamesIndustry.biz
like
in the next article.
I like
articles,
the lead here. Crystal Dynamics has developed another facet.
You like that?
Because crystals have facets.
Exactly. Crystal it's Dynamics has developed another facet. I'll tell you right now, I would not have gotten that. What's a facet on a crystal? Is it one
it's,
of the sides?
It's one of the sides, yeah.
Don't act like I'm an idiot, all right?
That's you know, like when you see like a cut gem?
Sure.
The different...
You call those facets?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I also... Now, don't make fun of me for that one. I don't think a lot of people knew that one. Always feel free to make
fun
of me.
I mean, wrote this copy.
Brendan Sinclair did.
Well, there you go. So yeah. Brendan
knows very
about
smart. Yeah, if you're
he
working at GamesIndustry.biz, you're smart. That's what it is.
Maybe you used to work at Swarovski or something.
Maybe. Back to him. The studio that led development on the Tomb Raider franchise for the last decade announced today the launch of Crystal Northwest, a Bellevue, Washington-based satellite studio. Crystal Northwest, which began operations today, will initially serve as a technology development studio supporting Crystal Dynamics projects. It will start with an upcoming game based on Marvel's The Avengers, the first of a multi-game licensing agreement Marvel struck with Crystal Dynamics' parent company, Square Enix. So, not much there. Congratulations, obviously. Yeah, that's great. More and Bellevue popping off, of course. 343 up there. You got Bungie up there.
I love
you
it up there. It's one of my favorite parts of the United States.
Very nice, right?
I really like Seattle. I really like the Pacific Northwest. I think if I could live anywhere and geographically it didn't matter where I was for my work, because I kind of need to be close to LA. But if that didn't matter, I would give the Pacific Northwest and the Seattle Bellevue kind of Kirkland area. I'd give that a real hard look because I like it. I got a lot of friends up there.
Yeah, good weather. I forgot. Are you going to PAX?
I was, but then I'm not. I had to tell Jared because I was on one of his panels.
Yeah.
And it turned out that I had a conflict that I forgot about on my calendar, a pre-existing thing.
You're
so
a piece of work.
I was going to go, and I was forced to make a decision, and I'm going to go next year instead.
Okay.
I'm going to go. I love PAX. It's my absolutely my favorite show.
Yeah. I'll send them your love. Number four. Again, GamesIndustry.biz, this time Hayden Taylor, reports Monster Hunter has been pulled from China. Monster Hunter World has been pulled from sale in China, allegedly following a, quote, large number of complaints issued against the game. Publisher Tencent has been forced to halt the sale of Capcom's Monster Hit, which shifted 8 million units on Xbox One and PlayStation 4 before arriving on PC earlier this month, setting a record number of concurrent Steam users. The Chinese version of the game was previously available on Tencent's Wii Game platform, releasing a day before its global Steam release on August 9th. Users will be able to refund the game without conditions anytime before August 20th, the company said. According to a statement from Wii Game, Monster Hunter World was removed due to numerous reports received by authorities that it failed to meet China's strict publishing regulations. Restrictions include games which feature blood or sexually suggestive characters, but analysts claim that Monster Hunter did not feature any obvious infractions. According to a report in the Financial Times, a source close to Wii Game blamed, quote, bureaucratic infighting, which has erupted in recent months, resulting in a complete halt of government-issued publishing license for games.
China is a tough territory to do business in.
You got
to
get there.
Everyone wants to do business there, though, because there's so much money there.
Exactly.
It's hard to release movies there. They do have very strict cultural standards. You know, for the longest time, Blizzard couldn't put the Pandaren into World of Warcraft.
Oh, really?
But yeah, because there's a lot... Okay, you're wrong me if I'm wrong here, but I was told by multiple sources that there are... very strict rules in China about depictions of pandas because they're so protective.
Oh, sure.
That you can't show like a panda being killed in a video game or you're a panda-like character. And they eventually did find their way around that, and the Pandaren now obviously are a playable race and have been for some time. But for a long time, I think it was Chris Metzen that told me, we can't put pandas in the game because China won't allow any kind of negative or violent depiction of pandas because... One thing that China takes very, 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 very seriously is protecting pandas.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting to toss in there. Obviously, it doesn't affect our region in terms of Monster Hunter World, but I like the idea that it's just bureaucratic infighting. Like, what's going
on? They just got caught up in some bullshit.
They didn't get a kickback here, so this is the tumble down to this, that, the other thing.
Money under the table.
Exactly. And Capcom's just like, God, whatever. But it's just like multiple... No, what did they say? Multiple reports... Or a large number of complaints, right? Numerous reports. Reports, but then the Financial Times like I think it's just this fucking bureaucratic stuff. So
doesn't matter how advanced your industry becomes. Sooner or later, you're gonna have to give someone a brown bag full of money.
You gotta do it.
Sooner or later, under the table. No questions asked. It's gonna happen.
I hope we get to a position of power one day where we're just getting manila envelopes under the table. You probably have already had a few.
I've never received. You know, we used to get a PC game request, and it still happens to this day. There are still fools. And conspiracy theorists out there who think that like video game reviews are exchanged for money and things like that.
I've never heard that. Joking.
But yeah, I've never seen a brown bag full of money or anything like that.
I just want it to be
either incoming or outgoing. Obviously, I'm only interested in incoming.
They
anyway.
Send us a bunch of bad baseball caps, and then
they pass
Cool Greg a bag full of money. And Cool Greg's like, these hats are lit.
This is your bag full of money here.
My Red Dead Redemption cup,
a cheap tin cup.
Yeah, a lot of people are asking about it. Where I got this? I'm drinking out of this Red Dead coffee cup.
Yeah,
they sent it in their press mail or whatever. Yeah, totally. It's one of the many things that's just sent here to die. In the back room.
And it is, I think, a huge waste of money.
Totally.
They can afford to do it, but like,
sure.
Oh, geez, Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming out. I'm so glad they sent me that tin cup to remind me.
I don't even, there's so, it's weird, because we get to straddle the line where I still think of us as gaming press, but we're also influencers, we're also YouTubers and podcasters, right?
Yeah, you're a hybrid.
There's definitely the different camps. And when we would get when we were working at IGN and you'd get a box full of promotional shit, you'd be like, what the fuck is this? And 9 times out of the 10, that happens here too.
Yeah.
When Battle Chef Brigade sent us the Easy Bake Oven, it was like, what the fuck?
What are we supposed to do?
And it's like, I can see where it could be a fun Instagram video or a fun me interrupt a show, but it's also like, there's a lot of work involved with this, getting it up and running, and that's not going to happen. And so then even recently, somebody for some game, I don't even remember the game, so it didn't work out, sent us a toaster that you can then ask them or send away for 3D printings to make them selfie toasts. So you take a your face set it to them, they put it there, then it browns the toast.
It burns your face onto the like a Turin like, shroud toast.
Yeah, and now it's just on top of the pizza oven in there. It's like whatever. The pizza oven also
PC Gamer, because we were the market leading magazine for so many years, we used to get every morning what are today's tchotchkes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
90% of it was crap that you would just give away or throw in the trash.
You want to send somebody, if you're a PR person, you want to send something people need, send them flash drives. Send them battery packs.
Yeah.
And then just send them the fucking game.
Socks. Throw socks on the list.
Sure. Socks, okay.
Do some branded socks.
Sure.
Because socks are all, again, as you get older in life,
that's the
idea
big deal.
Of socks as a Christmas gift goes from being a joke to like, thank you. I actually genuinely like socks and always need more of them.
Good to know. Do you have your kind of funny socks yet?
No, you're going to get me some though, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Making a note. Hold on. Cool Greg, remind me. Cool Greg, slack me right now. Gary with a socks.
Yeah, I saw Naomi posted a picture of her in some wearing some kind of funny socks. That was what it was. That what it was?
I think it was Naomi.
Oh no, and then
Naomi
John Drake.
Yes, that's
she
what
was in some socks.
She was in non kind
John
of funny
Drake,
socks. Yeah,
of course, John Drake's always like, "How do I make it about me?" He comes in with some socks.
Well, he's wearing the kind of funny socks. He's being helpful.
Well,
he's
helping you guys out.
Yeah, he's being supportive.
But they were like, he said they were almost like compression socks. Like they really
they're
felt
tight.
Like,
yeah, no, they're tight. Yeah, you want them tight. I don't. I hate when you wear
John,
the dress socks. They
fall down. On an airplane.
Yeah.
I can see how those compression socks would be good for him.
Sure.
I like John.
John Drake's great.
And I'm not saying that because he promised me a Spider-Man code. I genuinely like John.
Okay, sure it is. Sure
if
it
I don't
is,
get the code, that opinion could change very quickly.
Yeah. John Drake, cool. His wife? Oof.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding. It's Andrea Renee. She's here tomorrow. We love her very much.
John married up. I think we can all agree on that.
You know what? I'll say they married equally because they're both fantastic people. I liked them independently. And then when they said they were in love and getting married, you're like, you know what? The world works sometimes.
I'm gonna really put you on the spot. If they got divorced and it became like they had to divvy up friends, where are you going to go? Where does your loyalty lie?
You are asking the hard-hitting questions.
Why I'm here.
I mean, what? Andrea is in here every day.
So you would have to go with Andrea.
I have to. She's my partner.
You would have to freeze out Drake.
Do you have to freeze out?
It's a messy divorce. Let's imagine it was a very acrimonious divorce.
Okay.
And they're not talking to each other. And Jesus. It's like, we've got to divvy up the friends
this
now.
This is a weird question for Kind of Funny Games Day. It is Monday.
I'm starting Monday. I'm going in hard on Monday.
I mean, I would play both sides because I love them both.
You would play both sides?
Yeah, wouldn't you? Like, you're going to cut somebody out?
But it would get back to one of the others that you'd been playing both sides.
This is the problem with this question. I was independent friends with them before they ever came together.
No, but now you have to choose. They've forced you to choose because they can't share friends anymore. They hate each other that much.
Wow. I just
John did something so... Because, of course, I'm assuming it's John's fault. John did something so bad.
Well, he didn't re-up the wine subscription for Andrew?
I don't know what he did.
Well, I mean, then if somebody's wrong, that's different. If John murdered somebody, like I got to question John as just a person.
I guess. Let's assume.
All right, we're moving on. Number five,
irreconcilable differences. All right, we'll move on.
Number five on the Roper Report.
Now
you
have
this
story.
Hypothetical out. You know what I mean?
I know.
See,
but you're saying you would choose Andrea.
Well, I have to. She's coming in. But again, did she murder somebody?
I know, but does she want it? But no.
Like, I don't know. You're just not giving me enough to go off.
No, it was like, if you ever see that Michael Douglas, Kathleen Turner movie, The War of the Roses?
A long time ago,
neither of them did anything
wrong.
Danny DeVito was the lawyer.
Did you ever see The Money Pit with Tom Hanks? That's a good flick.
Yeah, that was a good movie. But in The War of the Roses, the two of them, Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas, get married. Yeah. They fall in love. They get married. It's this perfect romance.
Uh-huh.
And then one day, after years of living together, married, they just look at each other and are like, I can't fucking stand the sight of you anymore.
Sure.
And she's the same. It's someone's fault. They just grow apart.
Yeah.
So let's say that's what's happened with John and Andrea.
Yeah.
Now you got to make a choice. You're saying Andrea, but you're saying it's only because she's coming in.
Why?
If I'm Andrea, I'm thinking,
choosing either of them. I would continue to be friends with both of them.
But I'm saying that's not an option because you have to choose.
How is that not an option? We're adults. We're not in a fucking rom-com movie.
No, because in these really acrimonious divorces, you got to pick a side.
You're just trying to write it. You're just trying to get to the third act of your play here.
I'm just trying to stir as much shit.
What happens. I love them both.
And of course, it would never happen because they're a delightful couple.
Oh, they're not going to break up. Are you kidding me?
No, of course not.
They're too perfect.
What's John going to do? I mean, Andrea, of course, would have lots of options. John.
Wait, you're saying John would just be lonely the rest of his life because he's so heartbroken?
No, they would both be fine because they're both very attractive, fun, gregarious people. They would move on.
Didn't John lick
Kevin or
something?
Does Andrea watch these?
Oh, yeah. You're going to get a lot of shit from both of them about this. Yeah.
No, but the point I'm making is it would never happen.
Exactly.
Because
that's the point you were making, huh? We went around and around. Go ahead and try to dig yourself out of this one.
I feel like I need to clean this up. No, it would never happen because they're a delightful couple.
Number five. The Initiative hired a Red Dead Redemption writer. This is, again, from GamesIndustry.biz with Hayden Taylor. The Initiative Studio head Daryl Gallagher revealed on Friday that the Microsoft Games Studio developer has hired a raft of top talent. Gallagher himself, a veteran of Activision, Square Enix, and Crystal Dynamics, announced via LinkedIn six names that will join him at a newly formed studio. Of course, we knew about the studio. Red Dead Redemption and Shadow of Mordor lead writer and designer Christian Cantamessa. That's right, Kinda Funny best friend who's on the show to talk about his movie Air will be joined by Tomb Raider and Rise of the Tomb Raider co-director Daniel Neuberger and God of War producer Brian Westergaard. Blake Fisher, former senior director of portfolio and planning at Microsoft, has also come aboard.
I know Blake.
Do you?
See, yeah, I knew Christian. Used to work with him at in the magazine days back in the day.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, we were co-editors of Next Generation magazine, like in its final iteration. We basically edited it into the grave.
Oh, good. Okay, that's
but
good.
I like Blake. He's a good guy.
That's a way to hang your hat on it. Yeah, we edited it right to the death, so that's great. No, yeah, that's one of the things. I saw Christian's name in there, obviously. And, of course, the initiative, Microsoft's commitment here to making these first-party studios and doing cool stuff. That's a hell of a team
who
to start
doing. Initiative? Do I know their work?
They're one of the... No, they're there's no work yet. They're the new studio that Microsoft's like, hey, we have all these new first parties.
Okay, all right. Well, they're obviously hiring some top talent.
Yeah. Gary, I'm excited, to see what the initiative comes up with one day. But it's still going to be so far away till we see that game. If I wanted to know what was in the digital mom and shop drops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday. Why is it that Monday is crap as well?
Yeah. Monday's crap because Tuesday is a big day.
So I keep coming in. Can you put me on Tuesday sometime so that I want to do a good release day one of these days.
Okay, I'll put you on here with Andrea tomorrow.
Bring
you guys
me in
just
on Tuesday
or
bring me in on Thursday because Thursday is Nintendo Day, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, I keep falling on these sad days.
Out today, Sword Legacy Omen on PC and the World of Warcraft expansion Battle for Azeroth.
Oh, that actually
on PC.
Is a big deal. Yeah. The WoW expansions are still a big deal, aren't
exactly.
They?
People love that thing. People taking times. I saw Trevor Starkey in the chat, on Twitter saying that somebody from his work took the day off to go play and he's very proud of them.
Right.
And I hear
right,
that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Were you a WoW person?
Oh, don't get me started.
Yeah.
I was a cat asser.
I don't know what that means. You were a cat asser?
Yeah, because you start to smell. You've played for so long that you start to smell like a cat's ass.
Oh, because the cat's been sitting on you.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. And you're pissing into a bottle of Mountain Dew. I never pissed into a bottle, but the dishes did pile up in the sink.
Sure.
The dog was kind of pouring at the back door to go out.
Yeah.
And my life was completely on hold while I was in a high-end PvP raiding guild. And I played multiple hours a day. And it was one of those guilds that was kind of like having a second job. Like you get chewed out by the raid guild officers.
Sure.
if you haven't collected all your mats for the raid, you haven't collected enough potions, we need all these pots for the raid, and you've not done your, and you'd get written up, you'd be put on a disciplinary report,
you start getting your,
it's supposed to be fun, it's like having a second job. That's why I eventually quit, because when you're playing those really really serious guilds,
yeah,
like you've got to be fully committed.
Okay.
And some of these people should be committed.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
I do. I mean, okay. I can only relate it to the best MMO of all time.
See, the
which
thing
is
about
DC
John and Andrea. No, I'm just joking.
Text him right now. Get your phone and text him an apology.
I know, it's over there.
Because you're getting crazy out there. Cool, Greg, bring the phone to Gary.
No, I was merely positing if it were to happen, and it is a big if.
Bring the phone over here. He's got to text them both.
I'm not doing that.
There's a phone right over. I'm just saying.
I don't think I have either of their numbers. Maybe I do.
You claim to be such good friends with them, though. You know what I mean?
Well, not anymore.
Yeah, no.
Now that I've basically divorced them.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. I don't know. I haven't divorced them,
but I've been like the administrator of their theoretical
divorce. I'm just saying, you have what I like to call a crisis right now, and you need to handle it. You nip it in the bud.
I was trying to create a crisis for you by putting you on the spot, you handled it so...
Here's my
such aplomb.
Is this happening anymore in your life where you're... Are you seeing people, no, we're not going to do this. I just feel like it's been friends broke up that
I do have both of their numbers. I'm not doing it. I'll do it after the show because I don't want to get, right now the audience deserves my full attention.
Okay.
So rarely
you give me your full attention.
What were you going to ask me?
I don't know. I feel like it was such a college thing that I had a friend who was dating someone I didn't know well, and then they would break up and I would never talk to the friend anymore. That's a different thing here. Now
you get to
it's peers
age,
coming together.
I'm at an age now where almost all of my friends are
dying. Oh, sorry.
Yes, dead. Yeah, I go to so many, you go to a lot of weddings.
Funerals.
Yeah, well, you go to a lot of... First, you go to a lot of frat parties.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you go to a lot of weddings.
Okay.
Then you go to a lot of baby showers and christenings and things like that. Yeah, then you go to a lot of funerals. I feel like I'm transitioning out of the baby showers and things like that and the weddings The funeral's got to be coming.
Sure.
I get mail from the AARP offering me a free prepaid funeral.
That's not good. That's when you know it's coming.
Because they see it coming.
Yeah, they do.
And
they look at your Twitter, all this fast food.
But you're right.
Dream.
When you're younger, obviously couples, you know, dating couples kind of break up all the time, and there's a lot of drama. At this age now, though, if it's a breakup, that's probably a divorce.
Sure.
So that would be very serious. I don't know any friends that have been through a divorce.
Really? You mean dual friends that have been through a divorce?
You obviously have.
I was going to say, I've been through a divorce. You never knew my ex-wife. You didn't know my ex-wife.
I didn't know both parties.
Sure.
So that was something that happened before you and I met.
Let's do this.
Okay.
Take the divorce out of it. We're throwing that part away. We've known plenty of people in the industry who start dating and then break up.
Oh, of course.
You still talk to both parties there. Same thing.
Yes. But I'm talking, every now and again, there's something that is really so acrimonious that you do have to pick a side. Because that person would say, I now hate my ex so much that I don't want you talking to him or her. Like, you've got to choose. You've got to make a choice, my friend.
That's not a cool thing for a friend.
It's rare that you have that. If there's infidelity or something involved, I can see how that would be that degree of acrimony. But for the most part, no. We're lucky that most, I think all of the, like, you and Jen are a delightful couple.
I was going to say, Jen and I get divorced. You going to talk to her?
Well, I know. You see, that would be an easy choice because I love Jen, but I know
you
better.
Work with me.
But no. You see, you're making
you
it all
have
about,
to see
you're
me.
Making it all about the work. Just because you throw me some peanuts every month doesn't mean that I would choose you. Mm-hmm. I simply am. You simply have more veterancy with me as a friend. I know you. I've known you longer.
Yeah.
I only know Jen through you.
Right.
So you're my prime friend. And she is like the secondary. She's still great, but I know you better. So if you were to divorce, I would choose you.
You're at PAX next year.
Okay.
Jen and I have been through a divorce.
Okay.
You see her walking with her Pop Agenda crew. She's taking a developer somewhere to talk something. Are you going to cross the aisle and not make eye contact, not talk to her? Or are you going to talk to her?
Well, I don't know. How acrimonious was the divorce?
You keep saying this word. I don't understand. I haven't had time to Google it. Is it good or bad?
How unpleasant was it? How ugly
was it?
It was
totally fine. It's what we're talking about. We just, you know, woke up one day and like, this isn't working. We're done.
Then no. Why would
see?
I?
See, there
would
you go.
No, but I... You're not getting me.
I'm putting a pin in this.
All right.
Text your apology
right
to them
now. Right now,
you brought up their
right
marriage.
Right now, the Twitch chat is blowing up with all these people saying, why aren't they talking about
video
games?
Right now, people are either saying this is the best discussion they've ever had, or they've stopped watching or listening because they don't care.
This is the sort of conversation I usually have with Jared or Tim when you're not around.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because they don't know how to corral it back to the... They don't have the professionalism.
Yeah.
Like, let's get back. But you've given me...
I think what you're doing here, Greg,
is just trying to give me enough rope to hang myself.
No, I'm trying to let you dig yourself out of this hole. Trust me, I've seen the wrath of Andrew Renee. You don't want the wrath of Andrew Renee.
I don't
want
to be on
you better get that text. You better start crafting your text.
Andrea's flame hair.
New dates for you. The Terabyte and the Oppressor, MK2 plus client jobs and more are coming to GTA Online. I think this week, that part didn't make the headline for some reason. And then Fall of Light Darkest Edition will be available for download on the 14th of August on Xbox One, then the 21st/22nd of August on PlayStation 4, North America/EU respectively, and then the 23rd of August on the Nintendo Switch.
I feel like I'm missing out tremendously by not playing GTA Online. There's just so much of it.
Have you never played it?
No.
We tried to get into it, and it almost worked.
Did you try to do like bank heists or something?
We just tried to get going, because you got to work up to that. And it was that thing where we jumped in and like, I thought the menus and the way everything was laid out was just so cumbersome.
That's the worry of it. It doesn't seem accessible to me. Like, they just dropped this new thing called, is it After Dark or After Hours? GTA After Hours?
I think it's After Dark, but I don't remember.
And it looked really fun to me, and I wanted to play it, but like, I just feel like they're probably like, they're 20 expansions in now. I feel like, is there a way in for someone like
me?
We jumped
in trying to do it, it was... All right, cool. Oh, man, people are doing flying DeLoreans. That's awesome. And it was like, it was like $100 to get that credit if you wanted to buy it. And then to earn it in the game, you got to do all this. And it's like, oh, man, this is like another job. I don't want to.
Yeah, I just don't know what I'm doing. I do want to do just a straight up GTA 5 replay.
Okay. Just wait for Red Dead. Well, how did Red Dead go? You're on Red Dead Radio with Jared.
Oh, that's right. So I did Red Dead with
Jared Petty
on Thursday, and the podcast dropped on Friday. If you're interested, go to YouTube or podcasts and type in Red Dead Radio, and it'll pop right up. I love the fact that there's a game coming out that is so popular and is going to be so huge that Jared's already done a podcast of like 12, 13 episodes. The game's not even out for a few more months.
He's smart.
Yeah. He's going to be, when the game drops, he's going to be the prime Red Dead podcast in the, and there'll be a lot of podcasts, but he will already have built
He'll already have that mind share, that
following.
SEO.
Well, that's what he said, SEO.
Yeah.
And he knows what he's talking about.
He does,
But it was very fun. I got to talk a lot about, we actually recorded enough to fill two podcasts. So nice. I'm on this week's and next week's Ooh. Episode. Yeah.
All right, cool. Everybody check it out. Red Dead Radio.
He got Cisco to do the intro as well. The Wild Cisco's Wild Guest.
The Cisco's the homie, you know?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Took time out to do it.
Deals of the day for you. GameSpot's got this one. Listen up, Xbox One owners. Right now, Target is running a great deal on Xbox Game Pass. You can download a 6-month Xbox Game Pass subscription for just $30. That's half the usual price, and the usual price is already a good deal. You can go to Target.com to get that one. Then...
Damn, I just subscribed to Game Pass. If I'd have known, I'd have held out for that deal.
You got screwed over.
Yeah.
NewGaBug wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, deal of the day and a question. Oh, shit, I didn't see the question. The final season of Telltale's The Walking Dead comes out tomorrow, Ooh. Tuesday, August 14th. If you pre-order today for $19.99 on PSN or Xbox Live, you get Season 1, Season 2, A New Frontier, 400 Days, and Michonne for free.
That's amazing.
That is. That's a great deal, he says. I've enjoyed other Telltale games, but I'm not really into zombie gore. So I ask, how graphic is the violence in this series?
Oh, it's pretty graphic.
The eye-scooping scene from Tales of the Borderlands kind of grossed me out. Yeah, no, it's graphic. You're sawing off limbs.
If you know what The Walking Dead is. It's going to be people with their legs caught in bear traps and zombies
eating
people.
There's cannibals and stuff.
I worked on this.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
oh,
final season. I worked on season one, but I also I came back and I worked a little bit on this new final season.
Yeah.
But I haven't, since I worked on it, I haven't seen.
You were a story consultant, right?
I was a story consultant, which means I was involved in the very early phase of kind of figuring out what's the overall story, what's Clementine's journey, what are some of the things that we want to see happen to her along the way, who are some of the characters, and we broke it down episode by episode. But I haven't seen the finished product, so I'm going to be very interested to see it and see how much of those initial, those early story conversations made their way into the, because over the course of development, a lot changes.
Yeah.
But I'll be interested. You should, if it was, all has worked out, when you play it tomorrow, you'll see my name on there. Story
I got my code right before this. So I'm looking forward to playing
too.
Tonight.
I got mine too. I'm very excited.
Gary, it's time for, so it's violent. Time for reader mail. But first I'm going to tell you, it's brought to you by Brooklinen and Stamps. Brooklinen.com. Oh, it's stamps.com. Brooklinen.com, of course, is the place I've been talking about forever. You guess what, everybody? You need new sheets. Because why? Because you never think about getting new sheets. Isn't that right, Cool Greg?
I'm so relieved. I thought this was going to be underpants again.
Not this time. Not this time. Brooklinen.com has amazing sheets you can get online. You can mix and match the colors. You do it with the little buttons. You hit them. You see what they look like. You can imagine them in your room. You look up with the computer like I did. You pick what you want. It's what I did. They are super soft. They are super comfortable. They are the best sheets I've ever owned. No BS. You can go to brooklinen.com right now, look at it yourself, and use the deal. Of course, these are luxury sheets without the luxury markup. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. Brooklinen's method is simple. Take out the middleman. Keep things personal, just between you and the customer. You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so sure you'll love your new sheets, they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen, these really are the best sheets ever. I agree. If you go to any of my Instagram posts and see Porty on the bed, those are the Brooklinen sheets. They're very good.
Do you go with the top sheet as well as the fitted sheet?
I do. For a long time, I didn't rock the top sheet, and now I am rocking it again, and I do enjoy having it back.
I go straight to the comforter.
You go duvet cover / comforter,
yeah,
and then
because
your body.
The top sheet gets all tangled up. And
yeah, but there's something nice about it when it's folded over, and it's super, and maybe it's just the Brooklinen sheets.
I mean, there's nothing like sliding into like a crisp, freshly made bed.
With the brand new sheets, and they got the smell.
Yeah.
Or not the brand, like freshly washed sheets. They got
freshly laundered. The smell of fresh laundry. Oh, it's nothing better.
Yeah. Now let's talk about stamps. Stamps.com. These days you can get practically anything on demand, like our podcast. Listen wherever you want, whenever it's convenient for you. Now you can do it with stamps.com. With stamps.com, you can access all the services of the post office right at your desk. Buy and print real U.S. postage for any letter or any package. All available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just click, print, mail, and you're done. Stamps.com will even send you a digital scale. How do we know? Because we did it. Joey did it. We got the scale over there. Cool Greg sends out stuff all the time. Now he doesn't have to worry. He can just print, weigh it, print it. There, we're done. Slap it on. Give it to the mailman. It goes. Right now, use KF Games, all one word, for this special offer. A free week trial includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type KF Games. That's stamps.com. Enter KF Games. Gary, Let's jump into the deep end immediately. Ernie writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGDN says, "Hey Greg, an esteemed co-host. I just read an article on Polygon about the popular Fortnite/Twitch streamer Ninja not working with female streamers. In the article, he explains how he chooses not to collaborate with female streamers to avoid rumors being spread, etc. From my understanding, this is his personal decision to avoid rumors and to protect himself and his wife from the bombardment of rumors, questions, and speculations. Reading the Twitter comments, he seems to be coming under a lot of fire, being called sexist and more. While I can see their angle, I feel he's making a personal choice to protect his family, and he's allowed to do so. I just want to see what your take on it is, and if you think he's doing the right thing, or if you feel there's a better approach. Love what you do, Ernie." Gary, did you see this article?
I did see it. I saw it over the weekend, yes.
What was your take? My take on it, I'll give you time to clarify. My take on it was that it was sad. Not that Ninja's a sad person. Not, it's a sad situation, and I feel... It speaks to a little bit of what I was talking about and what a couple other questions here I was talking about at the beginning of the show and what questions I'll touch on about having a platform. The problem here for me and why this is such a sad situation is that I understand on paper and what he said in the article, right, the intentions of Ninja, that I don't want to deal with the bullshit. I don't want to deal with being called into question on this. I don't want to deal with my wife being dragged. I don't want to have people tweeting me or my wife about all this other shit, right? I feel that it's so fucking sad that that is having that much of a chilling effect on someone. And when I was talking earlier about having a platform, right, I want to use our platform to be more inclusive and bring in different voices and have different conversations and all these right. different things. And I understand, of course, what that comes with. That comes with people being mad on Twitter that I've brought somebody in, people being mad at me for saying, people being mad at us stating our opinions or something else. I get wanting to put up a hardened shell and have a hardline stance, but it sucks. It's sad that Ninja, probably the biggest streamer going, or one of, obviously Dr. Disrespect.
Certainly up there.
Feels that he can't elevate different voices or an entire gender and bring them on to share that spotlight because of this one reason.
Right.
And so it's a fucked up situation all around.
It all adds up to a fucked up situation in the words of Public Enemy.
Sure. good Public Enemy reference.
So look, I really don't want to be in the judging other people business, and everyone's out there, you know, everything that happens these days, we're seeing a lot of people out there with hot takes. Other people's choices. He's obviously free to make whatever choice he wants, what he wants exactly. to do personally with his own channel. I do think it's a bit of a lame choice. I don't think it's the best reason in the world to not do this. I think that, as you rightly said, when you have a platform, especially when you have a very large platform, like you guys have a large platform, Ninja has a very large platform, Dr. Disrespect, Shroud, we see yep. these big time streamers Sancho out there. West. I do think you have an opportunity, nay, a responsibility to try and, again, as you said earlier, pay it forward, reach back behind you, and lift up other people that might not otherwise get a big audience. Yeah. I do think there is some institutional societal bias against, you know, female streamers and streamers of color and other people out there can have a tougher time building audiences than the likes of Ninja, who obviously has built his channel on his own merits, and fair play to him. But there is an opportunity here to lift others up and speak to, hey, look, you think I'm cool? I'm Ninja. You think I'm cool? Here's what I think is cool.
I think this person's cool.
Here are some other people I think is cool, and you can radiate that out, and you can give back. He's chosen not to do it. That's his right. I think it doesn't seem like the best rumors. Who gives a fuck about rumors? His wife and he are obviously, they're secure. They work together. They yeah. seem like they've got a good relationship. If people in chat want to go, ooh, he's got a female streamer on there, are they fucking? So what? I don't care about, like, if it really, really bothers him, that's his choice. It wouldn't bother me. I don't quite understand what it is that he's worried about.
And that's where the situation...
Is he worried his marriage is going to get undermined in some way?
And that's the situation we get into where, yeah, I don't agree with Ninja's choice. I can understand what we're talking about, where it's coming from. And I always feel like I never want to take away from how anybody feels about anything. I always look back, though, on the way IGN, in working there for 8 years, tempered me like fine steel against people being an asshole on the internet, because I see it all the time of people who are streamers, and you know I'll include it right here, right? Austin T wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and said, "How do you guys fight off the negativity as a gaming personality? I asked this question fresh off the ending of the Super Smash Con on behalf of one Juan Hungrybox Dibidema. I don't know his last name, I'm sorry, but Hungrybox, the current number one ranked Smash Brothers Melee player in the world. HBox plays a controversial character in Jigglypuff that he has been loathed for nearly a decade too at this point. Through it all, he has clawed his way to the top spot after years of grind and grime, and it seems like he's coming apart at the seams as of late. Last night he tweeted after his loss, quote, "Fuck this community, man. All you guys ever do is look for ways to give me shit over any tiny thing. All 12 years of me playing Melee has been full of it. I'm literally mocked by my peers, my competitors, and community figureheads on a daily basis. Like, what's the point anymore?" End quote. Despite his past, present, his character, and his prowess as a competitor, how is one supposed to push through all of this when it feels like everybody wants you to fail? I can't speak at all to Hungrybox. I'm not familiar with them. I don't know the context of it and anything else. But it's something I see in terms of this, in terms of Ninja, in terms of... And I don't mean to say talk like I'm fucking unstoppable or like, you know what I mean? But people who... For 8 years, people talked about wanting to nail my cock to a board because they didn't agree with my reviews or how I played on a fucking charity stream, which is always my favorite one, right? So you eventually learn of, and it's what we talk about all the time on Kinda Funny, the vocal minority versus the silent majority. Right. And for me, to your question, Austin T, how do we ignore it? It's so simple. I take a sip of my coffee, I click the mute button on Twitter, and I move about my day.
I always say you get one shot at me before you're ethered forever, so make it a good one.
Oh, and that's my favorite thing now is when I put out anything, I put up the Spider-Man painting Panda did of me and Spider-Man today, right? And I was looking through the responses, and I guess that part where it's like, hey, man, if you click on this box, you might see some inappropriate language. You've seen this on Twitter, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I clicked on it. You know what happened? It popped, and there was nothing there because whoever's talking shit was muted long ago. That's my favorite.
I've developed a real hair trigger mute on Twitter over the years. Like, I'll say, oh, here's something I'm excited about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And someone will go, meh, I think that's lame. You know what? Fuck you. You're gone as well. I don't need that energy in my life. If you're the kind of person that thinks it's a fucking good way, a good use of your time to write, I don't think something's that cool. I'm cooler than you. And you think it's a good use of my time to read that shit? Fuck you. You're gone. I'm never going to hear from you again.
Yeah.
I just obliterated you.
Sure.
And that's the right that we have. And again, to get back to the Ninja thing, maybe he feels like, I don't want to judge too much. Maybe he feels like he's protecting his wife from having to see that kind of shit. Like, whether or not, you know, nothing's obviously going on, but like, maybe your wife doesn't want to see all this shit about, oh, maybe he's fucking this other streamer. Like, it's just upsetting to see that. Maybe that's the choice that he's making. Again, I don't want to say I respect the choice because I don't agree with it. It's his choice to make.
Yeah.
But again, now he's seeing a lot of the blowback from it. Do you see this guy? I tell you who I thought was really cool. I happened to see some of the Evo Fighting Championships last weekend, and I was watching the Dragon Ball FighterZ Championships, and the guy that won it is a furry. I think his name is Shadow Fox. Someone in Your Wrong World. It's something Fox.
Okay.
It's like Starry Fox, Fox die, or Shadow die, Fox or something die. Like that. And he comes out and he's got a big, he wears the fox hat.
Yeah.
He takes it off when he plays.
Sure.
But he comes out, he's gay, he's a furry. And after he won the championship, he did a tweet that said, guess what? I'm gay, I'm furry, I'm the best motherfucking DBFC fighter on the planet. And I was like, I love this guy.
Yeah, because fuck
he's
yeah.
out there. Own it. He's owning, he's leaning into his personality. He doesn't give a fuck what people think. And it was fantastic. And I want to see more of that. Don't worry about what the fucking crowd thinks. Just be true to yourself and do what you want to do.
And that's the biggest thing. And that's back to it being sad about the Ninja thing. Is just, I feel like that... Even the world's biggest streamer, just for argument's sake, the world's biggest streamer at this point still can be put into a box, at least from what he's saying, right?
Yeah. By trolls. By the trolls. Exactly. He's like, I'm afraid of the trolls.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I fucking hate. And the fact that we have to live in a place where you're so terrified.
He has other opportunities to bring on... people of color, disabled gamers, LGBT. Yeah. He can do all kinds of things to help raise up. Again, when you've got a platform like that, I do think you get to a point where you've got a responsibility to try and support causes that hopefully you believe in.
Yeah.
You know, inclusion, diversity, things like that. If he doesn't want to bring women onto the channel, that's his choice. I personally think it's a lame excuse.
I wish that wasn't the choice he made. But.
Yeah.
That's exactly his right or whatever, and I don't agree with it and everything we just talked about, but there you go.
But Ninja follows me on Twitter, so he can't be all
so
bad.
You could solve all this.
Slide into his DMs and say, dude, check yourself.
Bruh, come on.
Check yourself before you
invite
wreck yourself.
Him to come to a Kinda Funny Games Daily with you here. You know what I mean? I have no idea. Probably not. He's very busy.
He lives on the other side. I'm sure he is very busy. Well,
there's planes. The other big topic that I saw a lot, obviously, in the old... kindoffunny.com/KFGD question box.
This is a hot KFGD today.
Tom gets the one to ask it. Tom writes in and says, just wanted to get your take on the disagreement some people have on giving Philip Mewson a chance to respond in a follow-up interview after he posted an apology on his YouTube channel, then deleted it. Tom, of course, is referencing last week, Dead Cells review, or yeah, last week, God, it feels like it's been a lifetime. Last week, Philip over at IGN, formerly of IGN, put up his Dead Cells review. IGN took it down, investigated it for plagiarism, then let Philip go, put out a statement being like, this looks like it's copied from Boomstick Gaming. That all happened. Everybody was all freaking on the internet. Then Friday, after we were done, Philip, or as we were actually streaming 40 Night, Philip put up a YouTube video claiming basically not apologizing, but taking responsibility and saying like basically he didn't plagiarize. It was just coincidence kind of thing. Called out Jason Schreier, said if you can find more, you know, I'd love to see it or whatever. Put up the video. Hours later, Jason Schreier put up a tweet, and maybe even Jason put up a tweet in the follow-up hours being like, hey, I found more. Then Philip deleted the video and the internet's just been fucking ablaze. Anyways, though, obviously people are talking about, I'll give back to Tom.
A lot of drama.
Tom says, yourself, being Kind of Funny Games, or being Greg. Greg, Jason at Kotaku, and then Colin have all expressed interest in speaking to Philip. However, some people in the games industry, such as Danny O'Dwyer and Hillary Goldstein, are of the opinion that he shouldn't be interviewed because we should not give him the spotlight to respond. Just wanted your take on this. Love all you do. You guys have made my uni commutes a lot easier.
I should be careful what I wish for, because when I was last on the show...
Yeah.
The IGN statement had dropped.
Yeah.
And I said, I want to hear the statement from this guy, because this is the guy that I think should be held responsible. What does he have to say for himself? Now we have that statement.
Right. How do you feel about people wanting to talk to him?
Here's what I would do if I were you.
I'm Greg Miller.
And Philip reached out to you and said, I want to come on your show and talk about this.
Yeah.
I would say, are you going to take responsibility? Is this because the evidence is so open and shut, it's so damning that I thought the video that he put out only made it worse for himself. As I was saying to you guys before the show, the only way forward for this guy is to throw himself on the mercy of the court. And I think that there's a reason why he took that video down, because he realized that it was only making things worse. If the evidence is 100% conclusive, which I believe it is, you look at I watched the Boomstick comparison. I've seen some of the other stuff. It's obvious that he copied this stuff. And if you're going to come out with a word salad video, oh guys, I feel so terrible. But then I'm watching the video going, at what point are you going to admit that you did this? And he never does it. Then it starts becoming like, well, you guys are all out to get me, and he starts to play the victim. No, you don't get to play the victim, dude. There's a lot of other victims here.
Yeah.
Boomstick's a victim, IGN's a victim. There are plenty of people that are victims here. All the people that read your review are all
developers of Dead Cells,
The developers of Dead Cells, who now their 9.7 has to be retracted.
And he went down to a 9.5, I think.
Right. Yeah. So they lost a couple of points because this guy didn't do his job right. The video, this is kind of like the cover up's worse than the crime. The bullshit mealy mouth video quote unquote explanation that he gave was worse than the original plagiarism in my mind, because he had not. I get it. Look, he fucked up. Plagiarism is an inexcusable crime, but you know what? If he'd have come out and said, I'm not going to make excuses for it. I did it. I feel terrible. Please forgive me. I feel like this will never happen again. I feel so bad. Here's why I did it. Maybe I was under stress here, there, or whatever it was. Like, I just feel absolutely terrible. I did it. I confess. I'm guilty. Please forgive me. He would now be in a much better position than he is now with this other video, which only made things worse. So I would not want to be in the business of giving plagiarists a platform to continue to spiel conspiracy theories and playing the victim and bullshit. I would say, I want to know what your approach is going to be before you come on. Maybe we'll record it, not live.
Yeah.
And we'll see. If I'm satisfied with your explanation, we'll put it out. If not, I'll throw it in the trash.
Sure.
Are you going to take responsibility? Maybe now he will, because he's seen the other tactic of trying to play the victim is not going to work. Do you want to come on and try to salvage your career? Because right now your career is fucked.
I mean, I don't think...
If you want to come on and take responsibility and do the genuine mea culpa, I'll have you on and I'll give you that platform.
But I don't think you're talking about salvaging his career or whatever, right? Like, I don't know if you can... Even if you take responsibility now, you
at
still
this point, it may be
denied
too late.
It on that YouTube video, right? You got, and made things look, so much
you get
worse.
You get one chance at the beginning when you're writing the review to not fuck up. He fucked up.
Yeah.
Then maybe if you do exactly the right, we've seen this before in many different areas recently where people have very, very publicly fucked up, and how you then handle it is almost as important as the original infraction. If you come out saying, well, I didn't do anything wrong, dude, you're just going to make it worse for yourself. But if you throw yourself on the mercy of the court, if you say the right things, if it feels, and most importantly,
if you
sincere,
feel the right things,
that's why I wanted to qualify. Not just about saying the right things and having a statement that's been you know, gone through some bullshit crisis management company or a PR flag that you've hired to make sure that it sounds right.
Yeah.
If you are genuinely sincere, because people can tell if it's sincere or not.
Yeah.
If you are genuinely sincere in your apology and in your mea culpa, then there is a way forward. If there's no sincerity, and it felt to me like the worst kind, the kind of like mock sincerity. Like what you saw when that video started, like, woe is me, poor me.
Yeah.
No one's interested in that. They want to hear about why this happened,
yeah,
what you're going to do next. And they want to see you take responsibility,
right,
which he hasn't done. Right. And I don't want to, look, I really don't want to be part of the internet pylon brigade, because this guy's in a low place right now. And I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I want to hear the real explanation. I want to get to a point where this sort of thing can be forgiven and we can all move on. I have no interest in watching this guy's life implode.
No, yeah.
But he's doing it to himself. And I'm a little bit angry because I have friends that work at IGN. Dan, sure. Tina, you know, Pear, many people that, you know, Fran, lots of people that work at IGN.
Well, that's the
He's made their lives miserable. He basically took a big shit on all of their desks and ran away.
Yeah.
And they now have to suffer and they now have to deal with all of this bullshit. They have to clean up his mess.
And that's the
thing. Nobody wants to see a woe is me video from this guy.
I forget when. I mean, I don't feel like we talked about it. I think we talked about it. It was the last episode you were on. It was the last time we actually talked about it. Talked about you and me, or me on the show. In the way that, yeah, like for me, it's the fact that, yeah, I still feel I am IGN, right? That's always going to be my legacy and right. my home. And right. So like the anger I had at all of this happening.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, Tom brings up, you know, that I've expressed interest in speaking to him. I expressed it when it was all breaking and we didn't know what was happening. And like, I want the question of, what the fuck were you thinking? That's what I want answered, right?
And we didn't get that.
No,
and
like that's a 10-minute problem. Video
and
getting,
at no point did he take responsibility.
And I feel like for people coming at Jason or whatever, of like, or anybody, like, I don't want to. There's so many names involved here. I understand the journalism side of wanting his statement and wanting to talk to him and wanting all that different thing. And I think you have that from Jason, obviously, who's been recovering the story and doing all these different things, getting called out in the video. I'd love to see a conversation between them. As we've started to get things from it in this weird video and stuff, I think it moves further away from me wanting anything to do with it. Not because, like, I just... What show does that fit on anymore? I'm never going to bring him on Kinda Funny Games Daily to co-host with me.
No.
I'm not going to put him on Gamescast as a breakout interview. That's
but
not what
we do. But would
you
have him on if he said, I want to take responsibility?
I'd want to talk to him about that. Like, but I don't know where that product lives. I don't know where I put that interview. I don't know if I'm the guy, if that's what I am.
I mean,
you know
it's
I mean?
Newsworthy right now.
Yeah,
but
that's
you,
the
but
thing.
You,
we're
do
talking
you
want,
about
but
it. Do you
want to
be one of those guys that is just trying to be a part of the story?
Well, that's where it gets interesting, right? Is like, well, what is it that we do at Kinda Funny and where does that fit, right? Like, I feel like Schreier and him talking and him having quotes makes sense. I feel like someone interviewing him and getting what the fuck happened makes sense. And that I'd like to think I'm one of the best interviewers in games right now.
Yeah.
I'd like to think I have like, yeah. Lots of people know yeah. me for one-on-one yeah. interviews. I'd love to do that, but like, I don't know if it makes sense as like, it would make sense to Kinda Funny Games. And I'm not out there. I'm not, I'm not paving the streets trying to get this. That's the other thing is I don't,
the thing
I
is,
said
he
it as a passing thing,
is,
on Kinda Funny Games
he
Daily.
Doesn't need anyone. He can put up another video on his own
exactly.
channel and talk to the audience on his own terms.
Directly, yeah.
And that's easier for him because he's not going to get cross-examined.
Exactly.
If you're going to do it, if you're going to put him on, you really got to cross-examine the guy and say, look, here's the evidence. How can you possibly refute yeah. this fucking evidence?
And that's the thing. I guess, Tom brings up Danny and Hillary, obviously, friends of the show, talking about like, no, we shouldn't talk to him. We shouldn't. I get that, but it's like, for me, with the journalism degree, I want to see him answer the questions directly. I don't want him to see a word salad video. I want
right.
people to ask questions and get answers. And I'm saying this as a guy who, of course, like, you know, went to fucking funerals and had to go talk to the Westboro Baptist Church people protesting across
right,
the street
right.
with their horrible fucking signs
right.
and not at all agreeing with them, but wanting to represent them accurately and come back and do that.
Do you think that just purely hypothetically, do you think that if he would have come on your show, you would give him a real grilling, like a proper journalistic grilling?
I mean, again, I'd be angry. I get to have the chance. With what we do of whatever the fuck Kinda Funny is and internet personalities and shit like that, right?
This would not be Kinda Funny. This would be Kinda Serious.
Exactly. Well, we've done that before. We can get
right.
everywhere with it.
I'm not saying you haven't done it. I'm saying this would definitely... There's no.
But
this isn't funny.
I feel like I can get angry, and I can tell him that I'm angry. When I'm talking to the Westboro Baptist Church at the Columbia Tribune,
right.
I'm not
right.
saying I
right.
think your views are abhorrent and
right.
you're horrible people.
Yeah. I have spoken to personal friends at IGN who have told me that this has made their lives miserable.
Oh, my God,
so, like,
yes.
That, you fucked with my friends, dude. Like,
yeah.
what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not cool.
Yeah. So... So the long and short of it, much like the ninja thing, I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. There's different perspectives on what you want it to be, and I think that not everybody's the same. To say that like no one should interview him or have him on a podcast or whatever is different than saying Jason should or shouldn't, or
someone's going to have him on, because there are plenty of people out there that don't have the same kind of who just want the clicks, right? There are plenty will give him a platform and do a softball interview with him.
Well, see, that's the thing. You raise the good point of like, well, how do you do that? And I mean, he can just do it himself and not get cross-examined. But then again, like now it's even, what were you thinking when you did it? What were you thinking when you pulled down the apology? Like I don't know. It's just a fucking nightmare.
The fact
that
you pulled down the apology.
Do you remember when we just played games and said if they were good or bad?
It's because plagiarism. I mean, sometimes it feels like a storm in the teacup, but plagiarism is
a huge problem.
For people in the creative business of creating words and content.
Yeah.
It's a very, I mean, it is the most serious capital crime. There's nothing worse than plagiarism. I'm going to put you on this. Let me ask you, what do you think will happen next? Let me ask you this. What would you do if you were him now? Like, you fucked up really badly twice. You've compounded the original crime with this bullshit non-apology video. And like let's say you've been brought in as the crisis management guy. Like, salvage something out of this for me.
Thank you. That's better. Because I was like, I never would have plagiarized a fucking review.
What advice would you give him? Here's how you turn this around or salvage, or at least not make this worse. Stop digging.
It's the same thing I would tell anybody.
Like, the same way that you were trying to tell me to stop getting into trouble with John and Andrea.
Yeah.
Earlier when I was like positing their fantasy divorce.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're saying, dude, stop digging.
Yeah.
What now do you tell this guy?
I mean, it's the same thing I tell anybody. He's made it harder on himself. All it is what is your message, and what are you trying to say? You know what I mean? I always talk about Kind of Funny and myself. It's all authentic. It's all authenticity.
Right.
If we say something, we're going to stand by it, or you're going to cross-examine us, and we're going to be like, you know what? That's a great point. I'm sorry, and I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah.
What does he want to stand by? If he truly, I mean, we're, again, saying, you know, the evidence we see, it looks like it's night and day. He did this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And now he's trying to gaslight people.
If he really feels like then I would fucking be out there. You have to shout that from the rooftops and continue to defend yourself. I'm not saying fall on your sword, mea culpa, if you didn't
I'm always trying to find the benefit of the doubt. I watched the video. I want to make sure that we don't end up on the wrong side of history here. Is there any chance? Is there the slightest sliver of chance that he's innocent and that this was he just used the exact same words a lot by complete accident? I mean, is that possible?
Yes, that's possible.
Anything's possible.
I don't think it's probable.
But it's beyond reasonable. If we're going to apply a legal standard,
sure.
Doesn't it seem like beyond reasonable doubt to you? Okay.
I mean, when you look through them, it does. I mean, it looks like an open and shut case of plagiarism.
Right.
And you know what I mean? And like, we're not there. We're not talking.
Or not it's too late, who can tell? But again, this is gaslighting. It's like, don't believe what you... It's the Trump thing, right? What you're seeing and reading and hearing is not what's really happening. Come on. Have some respect for people's intelligence. That's what made it 10 times worse. That's why the video had to come down. Whatever it is that he's strategizing, because he's got to be thinking, like, what's my next move? Because like, I don't want to have to go, you know, work in some non-industry job because I can't... I mean, essentially, at this point, unemployable, right? Because this is a big problem. The only way, and whether or not it's too late, I don't know, but the only way forward is a proper apology video that says, I'm sorry, I panicked. Now you have to apologize for the initial non-apology. I panicked, I freaked out, I don't know what I was thinking, but like, here's the real, and this is sincere.
And that's the thing, you have to bear it all at that
authenticity
point.
Is key.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're giving this guy free advice. Well, I don't really want to.
You're welcome to invoice him if you want.
Yeah, maybe I'll send
the
him
one
a
thing I'd like to give out, of course, is the statement I say all the time here for you, person watching and or listening to this show, is be better to each other. I understand that this and the ninja thing and a million other things in gaming are hot button issues that we all have very serious and very justified beliefs and emotions tied to. We can all talk to each other about this without turning it into fuck you, blah, blah, blah.
Whether it's Ninja or whether it's Philip, or whether it's whoever is in the hot seat this week because they fucked up.
With Andrea Renner.
Whether it's me, Andrea, I'm talking to you personally now. Please don't hate me. Whoever it is, we're having the conversation right now. But like I said earlier, I don't want to be part of the internet pylon break.
Yeah,
Don't go blow up this guy's mentions, calling him an asshole or whatever. Have the conversation amongst yourselves with friends or whatever. But leave people alone. You don't have to attack them or make their lives miserable. Whoever it is, and I'm talking just in general now.
Yeah.
Whether it's Philip, Drake, whoever. What did I say, Drake?
Well, we're mad at Drake, I hear. The rapper?
Yeah.
We're mad at him.
I conflated him with Ninja because that was his
big
blow-up
moment. Oh, because
they
played together. Yeah.
Whoever you're mad at this week, by all means be mad at him, but don't go,
And if somebody wants to pick a fight with you about it and they're not in it for a conversation, just
mute
him.
Not everyone has to do the
walk
of shame.
Just fucking mute him and keep moving, man. You don't have to worry. Am I right, cool, Greg? Yeah, fuck the haters. Yeah, all right.
I watched this story with interest and hopefully is a teachable moment for everyone who might be thinking, oh, here's some obscure blog who's review working with Buff. You ain't going to get away with it,
Not anymore.
In fact, it's a career ender.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in video games. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games together. Andrew Taylor needs help on PC. His Uplay is Papa Drew Bear. All spelled the way you'd think. Papa Drew Bear on Uplay says, hey, y'all. Not really a question, but I'm hoping you could help me squad up with some fellow kind of funny besties on Rainbow Six Siege for PC. I like to play with people who actually want to play and win versus some little kid who makes fart joke and then team kills me. Add me on Uplay.
That sounds pretty hilarious to me.
That's you.
Is me. That's what you would get if you played with me.
Papa Drew Bear on Uplay. Find him. If you want to see somebody get team killed, of course, look at our party mode for Rainbow Six Siege when Nick and I kill Andy Cortez execution style. I'm going to jump to your wrong. Sarah wrote in Feta Cheese Pizza saying she got a whole bunch of friend requests. Good job there. But we're running super late today and we got other things to do. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong for everybody watching the show live. You go there, tell us what we screwed up as we screwed up, and then we read your corrections here. Whole bunch, but I hope they're doubles. Let's see what we got here.
Before you jump into it, I do want to just notice this other one. This other
Feta Cheese Pizza, Sarah?
Yeah, just about the power of the community. She said that Feta Cheese Pizza, you read out her gamer tag on last Friday's episode, and since then she's gone from no friends to having more than 30.
Yeah.
KF best friends are never alone. So there's the power of the community right there. I thought that was just a nice little thing.
No, that's
the
why I put it in there.
Squad up does work.
Squad up works wonders. Here we go.
There was a couple of
Lord of Pwn says Grapevine, Texas is where QuakeCon was this year.
I knew it was in Texas.
Capitalist Pig follows up and says, it's cut off. QuakeCon 2019 will be held July 25th through the 29th, once again returning to the Gaylord Texan Resort and Convention Center in Grapevine, Texas.
All right. So you're going to Grapevine, Texas. I guess we're going to Grapevine, Texas.
Yeah.
In July. Jeez, it's going to be hot.
Yeah, it's always hot in fucking Texas. You know what I'm saying?
I'm excited about that. I kind of wish it wasn't a whole year away. I want to go to QuakeCon and shoot some content. Quake content.
A lot of people, it's just duplicates, Now that they can't all see each other, well, not that stopped them before.
What do you got?
Toby Blue says just saying we demand a little Witta crossover with Andrea on Games Daily tomorrow. You can sit here, hash out your problems.
Should I come in and...
In your hypothetical divorce, here's who I'd side with.
Maybe I need to do... Oh, well, there's no question it's Leah. I mean, it's obvious who the more valuable friend is there.
Sure.
Did we get... Is it Shadow Fox, the name of the guy that was talking
about?
We're
not there yet. Oh, okay. Sonic Fox.
Sonic Fox.
Lord of Pwn wrote that one. BG2580 says, you can still take advantage of Game Pass deal, Gary. The 6 months would just stack on your subscription.
I love it when things stack.
Oh, shit. Stinky Dongle says the Target Game Pass deal of 6 months for $30 instead of $60 was a mistake and most orders were canceled. It's now back to the original $60 price.
Oh, well,
so
that
you didn't miss out.
Okay.
Don't
you hate that when you think you've got a great deal, but then they fix it afterwards?
I hate that. I feel like you fucked up. That's on you. Giraffe Theory says I missed that out today is Into the Breach on Mac. So there you go. A lot of Sonic Fox shoutouts in here.
I really enjoyed watching Evo. Dragon Ball FighterZ is a fun game to watch.
Ignacio Rojas says the view more button on Twitter I'm talking about the ones that's offensive ones, and trust me, it hides the offensive ones. Ignacio, just take my word for it. I don't know how many people are talking shit to you on Twitter. A lot of people are here for me. Lord of Pwn says, regarding Ninja, anyone he streams with, not just him, would also be targeted by harassments and rumors, and sadly, that can include family members. Saw some very chilling stories from other streamers over the weekend about their experiences with relationship rumors and harassment. I hear you again. I'm saying that's just how the internet is, though, and it sucks.
To be fair to Ninja, as I'm trying to kind of see both sides of everything here, I have no idea what it's like to have a community that large. You probably have a better sense of this. Like,
yeah, when but I, even not when I stream don't have, on, I mean, when I stream on
Twitch, it's very, you know, it's maybe 100 people is a lot for me.
Sure.
He's got 30, 40, 50,000 people watching
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I hear you.
And, you know, just by, you know, statistically by volume, you're going to get, he's got many more trolls than I have followers. So imagine what it's like sorting that out.
No, totally. And that's the thing is like, yeah, even with our reach and my reach, like, no, I can't fathom being that big. And that's the thing is like, we can read it out and say that's his personal view. And
you don't want to be the subject of like the Twitch equivalent of like supermarket tabloid speculation, yeah. You know? But I still think that he's got a platform and has got an opportunity to help raise up all kinds of people that would really, really benefit from, and you know, and you don't always just have to play with your buddies. If I had like a million people watching me on Twitch or whatever, however many it might be. Oh, that's cool. I like how you did that. A little
Thank
Superman
you.
Logo.
I draw Superman.
I wasn't quite sure where you were going there.
No, that's what I do every day.
That was good. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Do you know canonically, was this always the House of L? Because originally, when it was just when Siegel and Schuster first created him, I'm sure it was just meant to be an S.
It was just a
Superman.
Shield, yeah.
But
exactly.
Then when
it
got retconned, they made it a Kryptonian glyph, right?
Yeah,
that represented
hope in the House of L. Yeah.
Well, does it mean both? Does L mean hope, or is it the family name?
Now it means hope.
Okay,
so they've retconned that even more. Because okay, there's a Kryptonian alphabet.
But they also saying that are they saying it's still also the family?
It's the family crest. Yeah,
and
yeah,
it just
yeah.
so happens that the family crest also means hope.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And listen on podcast services around the globe. Tomorrow, I'll be back with Andrea. Will Gary apologize after the show?
Have to come in and do a special apology episode.
You might have to. Until next time, it's been a pleasure to serve you.